We've been talking when I've been preaching the last three or four times. We've been talking about the First John, and we went through First John, and just talked about what it is to be a Christian. What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? And then we talked about what the love is, and we kind of broke those scriptures down. But today this is not a normal Father's Day message, but it is a heart of the Father. You know, the heart of the Father, a father's heart wants to make sure he sees his children grow financially, monetarily, but grow into good kids, be law-abiding citizens. They want to see them succeed. They always want to see them be better than they are. Amen? You guys agree with that, dads? You always want to see your sons and daughters elevate higher than you. And that's kind of what we want. We want to see our children elevate. Now, we're never going to be higher than God, but God wants us to come to a place of knowing him and living our life for him. And a good dad will give you rules. A good dad will cause things to happen in your life when you break those rules, right? It could be a whipping, it could be grounding, it could be taking your car away, could be all sorts of things. But a good dad will discipline well, right? So I want to open up in Deuteronomy 11. We're going to kind of stay in Deuteronomy today. So Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 14, and this is just kind of the opening scriptures, and then I'm going to go to 18 through 28 as well in Deuteronomy 11. And it says, And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I commanded you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Just a little bit hot right there on the echo. Verse 18, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Verse 22, for if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk on all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispose as greater and mightier nations than yourself. Every place on which your sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the rivers, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. It's a good dad. It's a good dad. He's saying this is how you should live. Okay? How many would like to see our church grow? Every one of you. Are you willing to compromise? You're willing to compromise? Okay, we're going to get there. Are you willing to compromise? Are you willing to compromise the presence of the Lord? Are you willing to compromise the Holy Spirit? That sets the standard, right? As you look across the nation, and we got to visit a church, and it's a great church. Nothing wrong with the church, but it's like a mega church. So when we were out, we got to visit churches. I didn't get to find a church like Sunny found or something like us. But all across the nation, churches have a formula to grow the church. Okay, there is a formula. It grows the church. I mean, the church grows dramatically, 2 to 3,000, 4,000, 10,000 people, members, because they do a certain thing and do it the same way over and over. I'm not saying those people in those churches are going to hell. I'm not going to say that, because that is not the truth. But what I am going to say is there is a formula. If you're willing to compromise, we can grow this church and grow it big. But if you're not willing to compromise the Holy Spirit, and you're not willing to compromise the presence of God, then that's a no-no. And I am not willing to compromise the presence of the Lord or the Holy Spirit. I'm not willing to compromise any of that. Because there has to be some reason I come to the Lord. There has to be a something that changes. I know, because I've had an experience with Him. I know that I have an encounter with Him that it changed my life completely. And I believe that all of you have had an encounter with Him as well, and it has changed your life completely. And if you have not had an encounter with Him, then you need to find that encounter with Him. You need to press into Him. You need to press in so you can come into this encounter with Him. Most large churches today, and we see them, we also have them in the United, in Terre Haute, we have churches that are big, and we actually have small churches that are replicating or duplicating the bigger churches across the big cities of how they're doing church. You do three songs, maybe two. You give a little offertory, you hear a word, and you're out the door in an hour. You're in and out in an hour. You give no room for Holy Spirit because you have the next class coming right back in. You got people going out and people coming in. It's just this pass through. And that's good in manufacturing, where you can keep reproducing the same thing over and over and over. But where is there room for Holy Spirit? Where is there room for the presence of God to invade in a place? And most messages are for people that want to feel good. I'm just. It's a feel good message for that type of sermon or type of message. It's a feel good message. It never makes you really come to the place of, I need to dig in. I need to change my life. I need to come to this conviction. Because Holy Spirit he's in there, but He's not freely able to move. Because here's the thing, the supernatural is kind of a no-no. Because if the supernatural breaks out, that means my whole theory or my whole formula is dissolved. And so we keep the supernatural from happening because we do not want to see the power of God, because we want to do this thing over and over and over, that it repeats itself, and we grow and grow and grow, more and more people come in. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. More people are learning or hearing about God. More people are coming into faith, but not really coming into the depths of faith. Okay, there's a depth of faith that you come into. There is a place where you can swim on top of the water, or there's a place where you can dive underneath the water. If you get the right apparatuses and you get the right tanks and you get the right stuff, you can go deep into the water. You can dive. I don't know. What's the, anybody dive, scuba diver in here? How deep? I don't know how deep you can go with tanks and weights on. I don't know. And then you got to come up real slow. But there's hundreds of feet you could probably go down. But there's a depth to our wanting more for God. There is a depth. If we stay the same, I'm okay. But I want to see the presence of God. My heart is to see the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit moving. And I have to press in even harder, even more. And like I said, you know, we can go to a 2 to 3 songs, which is about 15 minutes. We could do like a 15. You guys, they'd already be out of here. 15-minute songs, I give you a 30-minute pep talk and send you out the door. And you guys would be great. You could get on to what you've got to do tomorrow or what you got to do today. You could do some work, hang out. Father's Day, you guys could get in your recliners, flip on the TV, maybe watch the Pacers. You could do all that stuff today. Some of you might like to go to work, do something outside. Man, you could have all this time. Or you can stay and listen to me for a little longer. You can enter into worship. And it's not just, and so I during our worship services, I really, I wanted you to engage. as a father, as a spiritual father, I want you to start engaging in a depth of worship that you've never experienced before. Even our worship team, I want to challenge you guys to dive in deeper, because I cannot go deeper unless my worship team goes deeper. I want you to go into a place of depths that you've not been to before. I want you to go into a place that you can take other people so you can show them how to enter into worship. I want to come into a place of worship where there is a drawing on you to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is a reason that we've changed our life. There's a reason that we've came to this place each and every Sunday and each and every time we come together. There is a place in my spirit that says, man, I want to worship the living God. I want to be a part of what he's doing in the earth. You know, it's good to come to church and hear a good message and think it's okay and then walk out the door and live your life however you want to. But, man, I want to see lives changed. And I'm going to get ahead of myself if I don't pay attention to what I'm doing. In most mega churches, the song service or worship service is just a song service. It's great. It's great music, great sound. Great acoustics, it's great musicians, but it's just songs. It's just songs. You can jump up and down, you can get all excited, but it's just songs. There's nothing that enters into that place of worship to the Father. We could preach a grace message, tell you it's grace, you guys can live however you want to. You can go and drink, do whatever you want to do because you got grace. And we was listening to Robert Laird last night, which we've already talked about drinking and different stuff like that. And he kind of explained it this way. He says, you know, I don't care if you guys drink. You can drink, but I'm going to tell you I wouldn't do it. It's not wrong to do it, but I'll tell you I wouldn't do it because here's the thing. If one day that you're out drinking or you're drinking a beer or a wine or a rum or whatever you drink, if you're out drinking and one day you have too much and you've been living your life this way for 20 or 30 years and then all of a sudden one day you had too many and you either got in a wreck or you've done something and now the whole world knows who you really are. Or they're going to say, oh, look at this guy. One mistake will tear down your whole reputation. So you know what I would do? I wouldn't drink. I would choose not to because here's why. Because the Lord God, the Spirit of God fills me up with enough intoxication. That's all I need. I don't need the fake intoxication. Amen? Because here's the thing. When we need to acknowledge Lord Jesus as our Savior, when we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, something happens into us. There's a transformation. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, and then it begins to transform me into a reflection of Christ. And so, if I only spend moments of my time in a church, and that's all I do, how am I ever transformed to the image of Christ or the reflection of Christ? We need to be metamorphosed, should I say, or like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. We should be metamorphosed into a reflection of Christ. We're a reflection of Him. A metamorphosis is when that caterpillar is in that cocoon. It is working its wings. It is growing its wings. If you opened up the cocoon and you allowed that butterfly out, he would not be able to fly. Why? Because he did not get to exercise his wings. But so we need to be metamorphosed or transformed. Sometimes it happens overnight. Sometimes it takes years to be transformed to the image of Christ. I'm still being transformed. So I got 20-some years in of being transformed into the image of Christ, and still I miss the mark. Still I miss, I do things that I shouldn't do. I say things that I shouldn't say. I have thoughts that I shouldn't think. But, you know, here's the thing. I keep them under control. I make sure I keep them off of the beaten path. I try not to say those things that come into my mind. I try to watch what my mind thinks. Because if I watch certain things or if I listen to certain things, it will begin to reflect or change the way I speak and the way I talk. Right? It's what you're around, you become. Question for you, are you seeing growth in your spiritual walk or in your spiritual journey? Are you seeing growth in your spiritual journey? And hopefully you can all say, yes, I'm seeing growth in my spiritual journey. And then you might ask, why is there some families that are better off than others? And why are some families, it seems like this family continues to live in poverty, or this family continues to live in sickness, or this family, this lineage, or this generation just continues to live this same way. They still have the same stuff. And then this family on the other side is always prosperous and always living well and always has enough going. I mean, everything is going good in their life. No sickness, no disease, financially wealth. What is going on? How is there a difference? Some families just seem like they never get out of the ditch. You ever seen those families? Are you there today? Are you in a place where it seems like you just can't get out of that ditch? Listen to this. God told Israel that they need to put these words on their hearts, bind them as a sign on their hands and on their frontlets of their head. What's that mean? What's that mean to you? Supposed to bind the word of God on your arm, on your hand, and on the frontlets of your head or your mind. What's that mean to you? Well, here's what it means to the Jewish people. They would take these phylacteries, or tefillins is what they called them, and I don't have a picture of them. Do you have a picture back there you could look up? But a phylactery and a tefillin. So you ever been to, some of you have been to Israel, or some of you have seen Jewish people if you went to New York, and you'll see them wearing these boxes on their head. You ever seen them? Okay. There's also, they do this wrapping around their hands, and then they wrap this box around their arm. And it's God's word. And we're going to read them in just a minute. But it's called a phylactery or a tefillin. And it's God's word that they took this verse, they took these verses literal. Okay. They bound them, the priests especially, bound them on their heads, on their frontlets, and bound them around their arms. Phylactery or tefillin would be the same thing. You know, in Jesus' time, now we don't see this portrayed in the pictures or in the movies, but this was going on in Jesus' day when he was walking the earth, and he was a priestly man, right? Right? He was priestly, so he would have wore the tefillin, and he would have wore the phylacteries on his arm. He would have been a good Jewish boy. He would have been raised as a Jewish boy as they were raised. At 5 and 6 years old, they would have started school and they would have started to learn the Hebrew. And then they would have gone, went on and they would have started to learn the stories by reciting them, the Torah, right? They would have recited them and known them. So here are the scriptures that were supposed to be tied or put in the frontals and the on the hands. And it says, Deuteronomy 6:4-9. This is what God said. Put these in your mind, in your frontlets of your mind, and in your hand, on your hand. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And you'll see these on these Jewish people. You also see them, they'll kiss the doorpost because they have the word of God there as well. They love the word of God. They adore the word of God. Deuteronomy 11:13-21, which we already read that earlier this morning, so I'm going to pass that one. Exodus 13:1-10 says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, Remember this day in which you which you went out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten on this day. Day you are going out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all the ites, which He swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in the month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your sons in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be a sign to you and on your hand and on your memorial between your eyes, as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. These are the words. These are the words that Moses is finishing out his journey. He's finishing it out. He's given the commands of God, and God told him to put these in there in the people. Let them know. I need them to know this. This is how you live. Exodus 13, 11 through 16 is the last one, and it says this, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and give to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb. Did I just read that? That's the same thing. But it's the same thing over and over. That it is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have. The male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be with your sons when your sons ask you in the time to come, saying, what is this? This that you shall say to him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord, Lord, all males that open up the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem it. It shall be a sign on your hand and on the front of between your eyes, for the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt. And so, like I said, when you see Jewish men today, you see them, even today, this is what you see. Now, could you imagine Jesus? Thank you. Can you imagine Jesus walking around like this? We don't see that portrayed in the movies. We don't see that portrayed. But he's binding this word. He's binding this word upon his hands. He's binding this word upon his head. This is something that they do every day. This is something that you would put on every day. When you get up, you put your socks on, right, every day, most of you. Put on your clothes every day, and then after they do that, they're binding this on themselves, wrapping the word of God around them. So we need to keep the word of God in our thoughts and our hearts. It's the life, it's life to all of us. It's life to all of us. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that we must live. I know this guy, I was talking to this guy a couple weeks ago before I went on vacation. And he has this son-in-law. This son-in-law is probably, he's about 35 to 40 years old. He used to go to church. He's very knowledgeable. He's very smart. And he used to go to church. And he would always try to come against the pastor whenever he's given a message. He would always try to confuse the pastor. And so this is this guy's son-in-law, and he said, how do I talk to him about the Lord, and how do I talk to him because he won't let his grandkids go to church because church is not good, church is wrong. So this man has church hurt. He's been hurting by the church, and so now he's trying to find every which way to dictate, say, that the word of God is not true. And so I asked him, I said, well, we'll just talk about the word. Just tell him about the word. Tell him about the Bible. Tell him the truth. And I said, how often do you read your Bible? And I'll ask you the same thing. Don't have to answer. How often do you read your Bible? And his question and his answer was to me was, I need to start. I need to start. And I said, well, here's what you need to start doing. Start tomorrow. get up 30 minutes early and open, get your coffee and open up the Word for 30 minutes. You can read quite a bit in 30 minutes. If you read 15 minutes a day and you're an average reader, you can read through the Bible in a year if you read 15 minutes a day. But if you read 30 minutes a day, you can get the Word of God in you. Now, that's not a lot, but it's a start to get something going. And all of a sudden, it will begin to change you. It will begin to give you direction and understanding. You need to read the Word every day. 30 minutes is that's just a quick time before you go to work. It's a quick time to just get in the Word and read it. But listen to this. Do you think a 30-minute sermon is enough for here at Calvary? Sonny, how long did you go last week? I don't know. But sometimes we're 45 minutes to an hour. And I hope this is not that long today. But is that enough for you? Is that enough? Is that enough for your week? Is that enough to carry you through? Is that enough to when you come into a conflict with the enemy, when the enemy tries to destroy you or come up against you or stand in front of you, do you have enough in you to deflect him or defeat him? Do you have enough word in you? Did I give you enough word for the week to get you through to the next week so you can come back and get more? Listen to this. There is 10,080 minutes in a week. 10,080 minutes in a week. Quite a few minutes. What do you spend your minutes doing? A 30-minute message is like 0.3% of your week. 0.3% of your week is what you're getting right now. Maybe just a little bit, 0.34 maybe. Because we're going to be a little bit longer than 30 minutes. Okay? So if you think about this, people that go to church for an hour, get their worship, get their word, and get out the door, they're getting about a 0.6%. 0.6% of their weekly intake. Now, I don't know what you guys do when you sit around, you come home and you sit around in your recliner and how many minutes you spend there, how many minutes you spend on the phone, how many minutes you spend doing other things, maybe gaming. I know I got some gamers. Where's my little grandson? He's a gamer sometimes. But how much time do you spend doing that? Now listen to this. If you would spend and read the Bible for 30 minutes a day for a week, you would only use 2.08% of your minutes for the week. 2.08% of your intake for the week. Now, now you just had a sermon, you could add 0.3% to that. Now you just had 0.38% of your daily intake for the week, or 2.38%. What do you do the rest of your minutes? Now, I know you sleep, and I know some of you work. See, the Word of God is supposed to transform us. If we do not read the Word of God, if we allow someone else to, I mean, there is so many apps out there today that you can open up an app. It will read it to you. It will have these, these sound effects in the app that people are walking, people are doing stuff. It'll have all this stuff. You could literally not have to read, but listen to. But sometimes when we listen to, we don't pay attention to. And so reading the Word of God and putting those things on the frontals and on our hands, so when we do come against the attack of the enemy, we're prepared. When someone asks me about my faith, how do I explain my faith to them? How do I explain the goodness of God to someone if they have not a clue? And I love Kaneo because it's opening up my mind to different thoughts and different things. The Jewish side of the Bible, the Jewish side that we really didn't get, I didn't get until now, and I'm starting to understand a lot more stuff. It's coming alive today. It's getting better and better and more interesting. And then when you hear Robert Lairdon talk about the revivalists and their life stories and their histories and what they went through and all the stuff, it's amazing that what God has done in the earth, even since Jesus has been here. and how the revivals have happened and how much confrontation people had to get the word of God somewhere. And it's just, but you know what? It doesn't happen by just doing. It doesn't happen by just not reading your word. It doesn't happen by just coming to church. Something has to transform you. And I'm going to tell you, the church can start to transform you, but you have to do things on your own. Sometimes you got to get into the game and play the game. You can't sit on the bench and just sit there. See, here's the thing. Most of us want to live with two kingdoms in your life, or two kingdoms living on the inside of you. There is no place that I read where two kingdoms live together well. Is there any place that two kingdoms can live together well? Now, I'm talking about biblical days. I'm not talking about now, but you cannot have Russia and the United States living together. You cannot have Iran and Israel living together. It won't work. You cannot have two kingdoms living in the same place. If you got two kingdoms living in your heart or in your soul, in you, something, one of them is going to win. One of them is going to outwin the other. So there's going to be a conflict constantly fighting in this place of the kingdom. God says, I want my kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom to come. When God's kingdom comes into your life, when God's kingdom comes into you, there is a transformation. And what it does, it begins to push out the enemy. But it depends on what you feed your kingdom. It depends on what you're feeding your kingdom. You can hear a lot of stuff on the internet, a lot of stuff on YouTube. You can hear a lot of stuff that might be contrary to what the Word of God really says. How do you know if you don't read the Word? How do you know what is true in fact if you don't understand God's Word? If you can be led astray by someone that tells you, man, they sound really good. Have you ever heard someone talk and it's like, man, that sounds good. That sounds like it's the truth. But until you study, until you open up the Word of God, you don't know truth from fact or truth from false, fact from fiction. This is where we need to be. We need to know truth or fact from fiction. We need to know the truth. So when the enemy comes up, we can tear down his walls. We tear him out. We get rid of that kingdom. You know, as we talk about kingdoms, when there is a kingdom established, they usually have their own language. Think about that one. If you believe in speaking in tongues, when there is a spirit, there is a word of God that comes within you from a kingdom, there's a kingdom standpoint, there's a kingdom language that comes and resides in you because there is a language of the kingdom. The enemy has his language as well. But no two kingdoms can live in the same place. One will destroy the other. Depends on what you feed it. If you want to see the darkness in your life flee, you want to see the darkness in your life go away, you want to see depression, anxiety, you want to see PTSD, you want to see sickness and disease go away, you got to find the truth in the Word of God. You know, they say that people that are depressed, people that have anxiety, that if they begin to read the Word, if they read the Word every day, they establish it in their life, their anxiety and depression goes away. That's an amazing statement. Man, we have so many people that are depressed and have anxiety that we give them Prozacs or whatever medication we give them. ADHD. All this other stuff, if we just get into the Word of God and read it. So two kingdoms cannot live in the same place. If you have two kingdoms living in your life, in your spirit, in your heart, one of them is going to destroy the other. One of them is going to overpower and overtake. There's always going to be conflict in your life. You want to know why people stay in the ditch? You want to know why people, lineages of families never get out of the ditch? It's because they stay in that same place, same mentality over and over and over and over, and it's passed down from dad to dad to dad to dad. Dad to son, dad to son, dad to son, dad to son, and it's continually passed down. Somewhere you got to break that chain. Somewhere you got to break that out and let the Spirit of God move up within you. Let the light of God push out the darkness. And whenever that begins to happen, whenever you begin to change the way you think, begin to bring the Word of God into your heart, here's what God says will happen. There is in Deuteronomy 28, there's Mount Gizim and Mount Elba. Elba, or how you say, would you say that? Ibela, for the cursing. So you had blessings on Mount Gerizim, and curses on Mount Elba. And so if you would turn to Deuteronomy 28. Now listen to this. And I'm not going to be very much longer. Verse 1. Now it shall come to pass. What shall come to pass? Blessings. Now shall come to pass these blessings if you, what's it say? Diligently. What's that mean? That means, is that what it means, or does this mean I can read the word today, tomorrow? Diligently, tactfully, aggressively, over and over again, seek God. Diligently, aggressively. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and do what? To observe what? Carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. This is Moses talking. This is God talking through Moses. That the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Now he's talking about Israel. But I'm going to tell you what, these blessings can come upon you as well. If you diligently seek and obey the voice of the Lord. This is a promise to you as well. This is a covenant God made. This is a promise to you as well if you will do these things. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. What's that mean? Overtake you. All these promises will overtake you. That means if I'm running at full tilt, these promises are coming after me. There is nothing I can't do to get away from the promises of God. There's nothing, absolutely nothing I can do in my life to get away from these promises God has promised me. If I will diligently, over and over, aggressively seek his face, aggressively seek his voice, aggressively read his word. If I diligently do these things, it's not a place of work, okay? I'm going to tell you, it's not a place of work. It's not if you do these things. God is saying, if you do these things will follow you. These things will come after you. It is something you must engage in, okay? Diligently seek his face. Now, you guys know when I ask the question, how often do you read your Bible every day? You know that answer, not me. You know the answer if you spend 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. They say most Christians today in the United States, most Christians say that they open their Bible up twice a year. And they read it twice a year. This is why I struggle with mega churches. This is why I struggle with that church mentality of an hour. This is where I struggle with people only getting enough. Not telling the true facts and true things that need to happen in your life. Because God can transform you. I'm not saying if Jesus walked into this room, he could lay his hands on you and transform you instantly. But then he would say, go and sin no more. Go and live your life the right way. And then you would have from that point on what you would do with it every minute of your day. Every minute of your life afterwards. Every 80 minutes of your week. What would you do with it? And what you do with it is you either live for him or you wouldn't. But he could transform your life today. He still can through his word. So these blessings will overtake you. Overtake you. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. That means wherever you are, the blessings of the Lord are going to come upon you, be overshadowing you. If you diligently seek the voice of the Lord, if you diligently obey the voice of God. That means pressing in to know him. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body that produce of your ground and increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock. Now this is in ancient times, but blessed be your refrigerator. Blessed be the things that you put your heart to do, that things will grow. Blessed be the job that you was in. Blessed be the things that God establishes in you when you diligently obey the voice of the Lord. If you cut hair, if you work in a factory, if you work in wherever you work, if you diligently seek the heart of God, God will begin to put things in your heart and things in your mind to make you a very good worker, to make you very smart in the things that you do. But you have to diligently seek his voice, and you have to do everything as it is in unto the Lord, not unto you. I mean, sometimes we have to get rid of our pride. Sometimes we have to lay our pride down. He will increase those things. Blessed be all your baskets and your kneading bowls. Blessed shall you be in your coming in, and your blessed shall you be when you go out. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. As you diligently seek and obey the voice of the Lord, it doesn't matter. His blessings will follow you everywhere you go. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Listen to this. This is, if you obey the voice of the Lord, if you obey God's voice, if you hearken unto him, you diligently seek him, this is where the light comes into you. This is where you are transformed by God. This is where you have accepted Christ as your Savior. And the light come in when there was darkness all around. When now light is in, and light is pressing out the darkness. Light is moving out the darkness out of your spirit. But if you do not diligently seek his voice, you do not diligently obey God, and you begin to do things that you should not do, you begin to listen to things that you should not listen to. You know, we've talked about the demonic realm. We've talked about those things, these open doors and open gates that people allow in their lives. You know, if you diligently seek the voice of God, if you diligently seek him, you obey his voice, these demonic realms have to leave. They have to, because light overpowers darkness each and every time. Now, do we need people have people do they need demons cast out of them? Yes, but here's the thing. They only need him because they won't diligently seek the voice of the Lord. They won't diligently find him where he's at. And that's why they got to have the devil cast out of them, because they will not diligently seek him. And then they get to the point where they can't, because the enemy has overpowered them so much that they can't even read the word of God. But what I know is when Jesus comes into the scene, when he comes into a place, light comes in, darkness has to flee. He has all authority in heaven and earth. But it's your decision. It's your decision. The Lord will command all the blessings on you and your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord God will give you. The Lord will establish you in a holy place to himself, just as he sworn to you. If you keep his commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Now, listen to this. He's talking about Israel, and he's talking about them being in this land, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and all the Hittites, and all those. And he's saying, when they see you, they're going to know the power of God is upon you. They're going to flee from you all these which ways, because there's all kinds of people of you, and they know I'm with you. I'm telling you, it's the same way today. When people see you as a follower of Christ and you have diligently sought his face, they will know you. The enemy will know who you are. And the problem is we don't want the enemy to know who we are, so we stay back in this place. We're not out in the forefront. You know, we should be excited. You know, it says that if you read, most people, if they read their Bible 30 minutes a day, if you read your Bible 30 minutes a day, you are 28% more likely to go out and spread the gospel to someone. You are 28% to 38% more likely to go out and win somebody for the Lord. You are more eligible or more excited for the word of God in your life, that you will transform it out to someone else. Think about that one. All the earth shall see you. Why do you think the United States is so prominent? How did we start out? I think we had, was Christopher Columbus a Jewish person? So when they came over for religious freedom, basically. They were getting just slain over there, and they came over, and all of a sudden they set this nation under God. Whose God? Israel's God, the one and only God. They set this nation in that way. And why are we so powerful today? It's because of where we set our feet at, where we set our foundation at. Why is America falling today? Here's why. Because we are neglecting God as the power and almighty God. We have taken the Bible out of schools, which they're trying to get them back into the schools today. We have taken the Word of God because here's why. The enemy knew that the Word of God was active and alive and it would transform people's lives. The enemy knew that. And so when it took the Bible out of schools, it took the reading because the families and the dads and the mothers were not reading the Word of God. They were not transforming. They were not doing this as the Bible said to do. It said that when you sit down and when you eat and when you lie down and when you wake up in the morning, you begin to give the Word of God to your kids. You begin to infiltrate that into their lives. But see, we're not doing that. We're not opening up the Bible. We're not reading the Bible. And here's the problem is 11% of the people are saying they read the Bible 15 to 20 minutes a day. 11% of Christians across the world. Why are we so weak in the United States? Because we do not have God in the forefront of everything. You know, some of you might not like President Trump and some of you might love him. But what he is doing, he's not all right there sometimes, but what he is doing is establishing the Word of God. He's establishing that God is the Almighty God. He's saying these things. The king, on King's Day, I guess, was that yesterday? King's Day, he said, there's only one king. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That is Jesus Christ. He's establishing that in the earth. He's establishing that in the United States, and the enemy doesn't like it, so they're raising up people to come up against him. I mean, there's a backdrop to every story. But if our people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face, he shall do what? He shall heal their nation. And here's where we got to come as the United States. And we know time is getting short. We know that Christ is returning. And are we prepared? Are you prepared? Are you excited for his return? Because here's why. If you get excited for what God is doing in the land, you begin to just open up the Word of God. You begin to open up things and you begin to read and understand. You get excited for what God is going to do in the land. You'll never be caught off guard if you're reading the Word of God. You'll never be caught off guard of what he is doing. It said, the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground and the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasures, the heavens to give the rain. Rain was valuable back then. Israel was a dry land. Rain was valuable. Always pray for rain in Israel. And land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. See, the United States got away, and we give money away. We lend, but we don't lend. We don't get anything back. And then it says, and the Lord will make you head and not the tail. You see, a lot of Christians will say that the Lord will make you head and not the tail, right? We quote this scripture that I am the head and not the tail, but we diligently don't seek the voice of the Lord. We diligently don't obey the voice of God. And then so how can I be the head and not the tail if I diligently don't obey the voice of the Lord? These are the things that come after if you obey the voice of God. This is what happens if you obey. These are the blessings that are bestowed upon you. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. What's careful mean? Right? What's careful mean? Careful is like, I take really, really good care. It's like, man, don't drop it. Don't drop it, it'll break, right? Be careful with it. Be diligent about what you're doing in your life. Be diligent about the decisions that you make. And then he says, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you to this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. Our father was trying so hard. God was trying so hard for the Israel people to not turn away and follow the other gods, and not turn away, because sometimes in your dry places, sometimes in your wildernesses, sometimes when you don't feel God moving, sometimes it's like you just don't even feel him there. Are you even there, God? You know, do you even hear me? You ever been there? I know we've all been there. But he is faithful. He is faithful. And he was saying, I want you to be faithful. Even when you don't see me, even when you don't hear me, don't turn to those other gods. Don't turn to them. But follow me. And then I'm going to just read a little bit here on the other mountain of Ebal. These are the things that happen to you if you do not diligently obey the voice of God. He said, but it shall come to pass. And that means, what's that mean? It shall come to pass that it will happen in your life if you do these things. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And you wonder why people and families are in ditches, and you wonder why generation after generation after generation is in this place. Is because they diligently don't seek the voice of the Lord. They do not obey his voice. He says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall your baskets and your kneading bowls be. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flock. I mean, you're not going to have anything, because you're going to spend all your money. You're going to do all these other things and chasing after other gods. You are not going to have any of this stuff. He said, cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send you on, will send on you, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. How many want to live that way? And so why I say this today as a father in the house, this is not a Father's Day message, but the father, this would be God's message to you today. If you were standing before God and he said, he would tell you that he loves you. He would tell you that he cares for you. He would tell you how much he loves you, that he sent his son for you. He shed his blood for you for redemption of sin. He would tell you all this, and he would say, man, here's what you got to do the rest of your life. If today is a new day, I think we sing that song today. It says, every day is a new day. It changes. Chances start again. Every day is a new day. We sing that today. Every day is a new day. Let this day today be a new day in your life, and let it change you. If you change this spot right here, if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God and you obey his voice, this is what he would say to you today. Listen to my words. Diligently seek me. Diligently read my word. Diligently know me. Obey my voice. Obey the things that I've asked you to do, because these things will follow you. These things will follow you if you do them. But I'm going to tell you, son, daughter, I'm going to tell you, if you do not, and you turn away from me, and you want to listen to other things, and you want to listen to other idols, and you want to go to other gods, I'm going to tell you right now that you're going to fail. You're going to fall away from me. You're going to think that maybe I've just dabbled just a little bit, and it's okay. And then I told you two kingdoms can't live together, and you can't allow two kingdoms to come in. And God would say, my kingdom's got to be set up in your heart. My kingdom is got to be moved in and transferred as you are transformed into me. I know that you still got stuff, and I know still got struggles, but I know one thing, that is, if you will diligently know me and you will seek my face and you will come and obey my voice, if you will listen to my word, if you will open it up and read it before your face, and you will allow it to get into your frontals, you will allow it to get into your hands, you will change dramatically, and I will show you the blessings of God over you. I will bless you more than you could ever imagine, and even your daughter will go farther than it ever has been before. But it's your choice. And this would be God's word to you. He would say, this is your choice. I love you enough for you to make your own decision. I love you enough that I will not force you to live the way I would want you to. That's why I placed two mountains. I said, you choose. You choose to be blessed or you choose to be cursed. It's your choice, so you can't come against me. I give you the option. Read my word. Understand who I am. Before the foundations of the earth was, Jesus was crucified for you. He would say, I've already set this up for you. I've already set this stage up for you. I already know when I'm coming back. I already know, but I'm not going to tell you yet. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to see the signs of my return. You're going to see when these things begin to happen. You're going to know that I'm coming. I'm coming back. And if you don't know my word, if you haven't read it and you expect someone else to tell you what's going to happen, you expect someone else to tell you, because I can get on YouTube and see all kinds of stuff spread all across the YouTube channels that will tell you all kinds of stuff. How do you know they're true or not? If you diligently open up the word of God and you begin to read Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 38, and you begin to read these things, you begin to read Revelations, you begin to read Romans, you begin to read these scriptures before you, and you begin to understand the word of God that is set in you, and he would say, this is my answer for you. You diligently seek me, and I will give you curses. I will give you blessings upon that you cannot even handle in your storehouses. So as a father today, you get to choose. As a good dad, how many times you let me choose, Dad? He told me right from wrong. Yeah, I choose wrong. How many choose wrong? You choose wrong? He said, don't go to Fountainette. It's old stories. Don't ride your motorcycle to Fountainette. I'm not even 16. I'm almost 16, getting ready to get my license. I got another motorcycle in the garage. Don't go to Fountainette. What did I do? Went to Fountainette. Rode my motorcycle to Fountainette. Wasn't in there. Didn't go through the town. Here come a whoop, 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 whoop. What'd he do? Call your dad. What'd dad do? I just filled it up at the gas tank. Just filled it up. Don't go to Fountainette. You can go anywhere else, but don't go to Fountainette. What, 20, 30 minutes later, here he comes in his pickup, the old gold truck. We threw that bike in the back of the truck last time I rode it. But here's the thing. He allowed me to make my own choice. He told me not to do this, and I did. And you know those things that you dads have told your children not to do, and they did. You still love them? Yeah. You still love them. They still love, dads still love us. God still loves us, even though we make mistakes and even though we fail. But here's what he said. He said, I really want you to do this. And I'm going to tell you what, you won't fail. I will keep you. Your enemy will flee from you seven different ways. You want to talk about demonic and you want to see the stuff that's going on around the earth? There's a lot of demonic activity going on around the earth, but I'm going to tell you what, it will not come upon you if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord. You put the word of God in your heart. You put the word of God in your head. You put the word of God in your hands. That demonic spirit cannot attack you. He cannot do nothing against you because you have the Spirit of God in you. But if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, those demonic spirits will come on and attack you and destroy your lineage upon lineage upon lineage upon lineage. It will destroy generation after generation after generation. And we've seen it today over and over and over. You can see people that you know that of their generation, their whole lives have been destroyed because of this curse that is upon them, because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Or they had no one to tell them that if you do this, the blessings of God will be upon you. So dads, you've done a great job. You've never failed, dads. You've never failed. You've always directed us in the right paths. You directed your children in the right paths. If you are in the right standing with God, you have done the right thing. And if you're not, and you know someone that is a dad, you need to tell them, hey, you know what? You really need to fall on your face before the Lord, and you really need to understand Deuteronomy 28, that there is a curses and blessings. And if you diligently begin to open up the word, these blessings will come upon you. You can change people's lives. Now, I'm not going to tell you that somebody that is generational, that they begin to read the word of God, that they will not change tomorrow. I'm not saying they won't, but I'm saying that it will take a process of changing that and rooting out that kingdom that is established inside of them. Because the enemy will take root into you. The enemy will take root. And so if you have children that have turned away, if you have children turned away, say, you know what? You can pray for them, but they need to diligently seek the voice of the Lord and begin to obey his commands. And all of a sudden, they will come out of that destruction. They will come out of that place of curses. And God will just literally start to bless them. Amen? Happy Father's Day. Men, be men. Be strong and mighty men. Be courageous to your children and your grandchildren. Be courageous. Courageous is on your knees as well. Courageous is being strong and mighty. Speaking the right words. Speaking affirmation to your children. Speaking affirmation to your grandchildren. Speaking affirmation to your wife, which I fail to do at times. I'm learning. And so we all need to get to that place of being true, mighty men of God. Amen.